He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on there and talk about how right I am once again. In anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guess.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last five, 6 weeks. But super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right, Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, here on this Tuesday, December 16th, 9 days till Christmas. Here on this wonderful Tuesday, hope you're doing well. Hope you're feeling fantastic. Hope you're getting ready for those holidays as much as I am, as much as everyone here is. We love the break, and we love the sports that come with it as well. Good to be here. Like I said, we got a big show for you 2 hours today before we send it off to the NBA Cup Finals. Yes, we will air the NBA Cup Finals tonight, 5 o'clock, Spurs and Knicks. So we'll do 2 hours today, and then we'll sign off and send it out to Las Vegas. Big thanks to Tony D for tossing it to us in the previous hour. Tony D Show, Sportsline Bulldog Hour, Tony D from 2 to 3 p.m. on the weekdays here on 1430 ESPN. Also, Paul Metter Show, Central Valley Sports Report, which is now on hiatus for the winter break. He'll be back in January, but you can normally listen to him from 10 a.m. to noon on Saturdays from First String Sports. You've got my show usually from 3 to 6 p.m. on the weekdays as well. So excited to bring that to you. You can stream it live on the website, 1430ESPNFresno.com, or on our ESPN Fresno app, which you can download with any smart device. And also, you can stream us video-wise on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch on those channels as well. The Lee's Air Hotline is the way to reach our show, 559-320-1430, the way to get a hold of us. Get in on the conversation, Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, sponsoring the Lee's Air Hotline. They also sponsor our weather check. And taking a look at what we have here, 52 degrees and cloudy. I mean, honestly, do I need to look at the app anymore? It's been like that for the last 14 days or so in any sense. Allegedly, it says it's going to hit the 60s tomorrow and sunny, but we'll see. Maybe some rain on the forecast for this upcoming weekend as well. So, you know, bear through it. It's winter. You're here. Like I said, good show today. We got a fun rundown for you, of course, talking some football. Maybe we'll touch on a little fantasy Bonatti Blitz here in this first hour as well. We're going to rank the week 16 games. Not many Bonatti Blitzes left to get to as well. We'll just talk about some of the news items around Fresno State as well. NBA Cup talk. And we'll also have in the second hour one of our student athletes week. We've been trying to navigate the hectic winter schedule that the winter sports are currently in. And so we're going to get a twofer this week in terms of student athlete of the week. So we're going to get Auburn Santos of Justin Garza girls basketball. Her and her coach Anthony Bay will be in as well. So we're looking forward to talking to them both. Justin Garza off to a 9-1 start, and they're heading out to Vegas for a tournament starting on Thursday. So perfect time to get them in the studio, talk about their season, and talk about the Guardians. Yeah, so excited to get into it for the next couple hours, and we're going to get into it with a couple of guys who are sitting behind the glass over there for this show. Tanvir's back for another day, and Daniel's here on a Victory Tuesday for Daniel. So maybe we start there, Daniel. How do you feel after a Victory Tuesday? You get a minute to talk about your Steelers, if that. Maybe so. How do you feel on this Victory Tuesday?
Oh, I feel great. You know, blasting Renegade on the way here.
Yeah.
We love it. We absolutely love this team. You know, my old man.
Your
QB.
Old man?
Yeah, my old man. Aaron Rodgers is leading us to a bowl. I'm saying that right now. You know,
leading you to a bowl? What do you mean? Like,
I
he's a college football team?
Yeah, he's leading them to the Peach Bowl, not the Super
Bowl. Yeah, not the Super Bowl. Yeah, okay, all right. I was about to say, like,
I doubted this team a couple weeks ago. But
I still doubt this team.
All that doubt is gone. We have MVS. We're getting
You have MVS is a statement you just said on radio.
We're getting Alan Lazard. I can promise you. You're getting all the way.
You have Adam Thielen. What other scrap heap pieces are we picking up for the Steelers here?
They're going to get Andre Johnson out of retirement.
I mean, anything is possible nowadays in today's NFL.
Steve Largent, maybe?
Is Antonio Brown, like, is he fine? Like,
he will return.
Like I told you earlier, Darnell Washington is the leader.
The ghost of Jericho Cotri coming in. I'm trying to think of other, you know, Santonio Holmes. Is
Hines
he still?
Ward.
He's got to be. Jerry Rice, is he's still healthy, right?
Big Ben at backup.
He's been running routes.
Yeah.
Jerry Rice at Levi's.
The geriatric Steelers getting a win last night over the Miami Dolphins. And I feel misled in my picks yesterday. Tanvir, I did not know the stat, and I'm going to plead that I get a redo on this pick from last night. I did not know the stat that the Steelers have not lost at home in Monday Night Football since 1991, before I existed. And so I would like to proclaim that I want that pick back, because I didn't get fed that stat yesterday before the show. If I knew that, it was Steelers all the way for me. And I cannot believe I went to the Dolphins side. I got fooled again from the Miami Dolphins in any sense of the word last night. But I should get my money back not knowing that stat from yesterday.
Yeah, I'm going to be for real. I think we're both at fault for believing in Tua Tagovailoa. So I am going to reject your offer.
Yeah.
And you're going to come down with me.
Okay. Anything's on the table, according to Mike McDaniel, from that game last night in terms of the quarterback position, apparently. But I wanted to point out real quick that I said this to Daniel before when he walked down. I think, Tanvir, I wonder if you can agree with me here. I thought that was the best game Aaron Rodgers has played all year. Is that a fair – I think that's a fair assessment to make. The strikes downfield, the throws to the end zone, the ability to move the football on – you know, I don't think Miami's like a bad defense. I don't think they're a great defense. They're kind of middle of the road for me. But I thought Rodgers looked better than most nights this season in a Pittsburgh Steelers uniform, and that was my big takeaway.
I think instead of the Rodgers aspect of it, I actually like the receivers and what they did. I thought DK Metcalf played so much better in this game than he has over the last couple of weeks. You know, DK Metcalf, the big thing about him is, you know, his stature, his size, his strength, and I just felt like he was not using that to the ability that he could, and he definitely showed it in that touchdown reception that he had in that third quarter. But yes, I thought Aaron Rodgers played really well. Would I say it's his best performance of the year? Possibly. I might think of something that happened earlier on in the year, but overall, yeah, I think Aaron Rodgers really showed that he still has some juice left in him.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Steelers want any sort of deep playoff run, it's going to have to be through him.
Mike Tomlin's going to bleep and do it again. He's going to get to 9 wins and be above 500 again. It's going to happen with this remaining schedule with Detroit, Cleveland, and Baltimore. Like, it's...
I just wanted to ask, like, would you rather be 9-8 for like 10 years straight?
Oh, it's horrible.
Or like half the years you're like 5 wins and the other half you're 13.
I
don't know. I feel like I could not live in that. I mean, it's mediocrity.
The purgatory nature of that kind of existence just makes me want to gouge my eyes out. But two rings is two rings. Am I wrong there?
Two rings are two rings.
You know? Or it was just one. Did Tomlin only win one?
Tomlin only won one.
Cowher won. He got to another, and then he hasn't been there since 2010, right?
He was beat by the man that is now his quarterback.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Rodgers, I'm trying to look at some other games he had. He had 224 last night, and he had, I think he had the 4 touchdowns. Or no, one was a rush. One was a rush. So I think he had 3 touchdowns last night in terms of it. No, he had 2, excuse me. But efficient, 23 for 27, just 4 incompletions last night through the air. And, I mean, really, Pittsburgh was well ahead of the game where it didn't need to ask too much for it. From him in terms of it. It's his, excuse me, he's had better yardage games per se in terms of production, but I would imagine the interception rate was not as good in those games. I'm looking at early games in the season. Daniel, if you recall, like, you know, they played Cincy early in the year and they lost on that Thursday night, and Rodgers had a couple horrible picks in that game, even though he threw for 249, right?
The Vikings game performance I thought was pretty good. The one where they won in Dublin.
Just 200 yards through the air for him, but for efficient in that sense. And the Jets game week one?
Yes. I thought the Minnesota defense is better than Miami's, and therefore that's why I would give credence to that being his best performance of the year, but still, great performance last night.
So, you know, I don't think we look at that game tomorrow or last night and say, is it going to play a factor into what is the grand scheme of the playoffs? I think it more assures the Steelers are going to be at least guaranteeing themselves week 18 is a game that will matter for them in terms of win the division or whatever with Baltimore. Because you got to believe Baltimore. I mean, Pittsburgh feels good, I would imagine, with where Baltimore's at with 7-7 Baltimore. Baltimore's got New England. Baltimore's got Green Bay. And then Baltimore's got Pittsburgh. So the path for Baltimore suddenly gets way more difficult. We'll talk about it when we preview the week ahead. But with Pittsburgh and Detroit this week, I don't know what juice they have against Detroit from what I saw with my own two eyes and what Detroit can be offensively. That's a whole different story in terms of that. You got to believe the game in Cleveland will be something that the Steelers handled Cleveland very well early in the year, but that was Dylan Gabriel. You know, what is it going to be like with facing Shador in that situation? But I think the win last night assured the Steelers that week 18 will be probably for the division. I think that's fair to say in every sense of a word. They clinched at least a play-in game in week 18 for that. Who do you want to see? I know you want to see Pittsburgh, Daniel. So I'm not going to ask you, but Tanvir, like, who do you want in the playoffs between Pittsburgh and Baltimore?
I, you know, as a child, I was a fan of Pittsburgh, but I am going to be honest. I would rather have Lamar and the Ravens, just because I feel like I would love to see how Lamar and Josh Allen handle the pressure of being in a playoffs that doesn't have a Joe Burrow or a Patrick Mahomes. I think both of those guys would have not only the opportunity to make a Super Bowl, but the opportunity to put a stamp on one of their legacies that the other two quarterbacks have, which is they've made a Super Bowl. So I think I would like that aspect of the battle a little bit more, but I guess I wouldn't mind either one.
I think I'd want to see Pittsburgh in a little bit really? More, me personally.
You know, there's the story of Aaron Rodgers, though. It is
One final ride.
Yeah, I think that would be cool, too.
This feels like you remember the last Breeze was much better at the end, but it feels like the last Breeze year when Breeze retired after losing to Brady in 2020, kind of that kind of ending where we're going to have a game in Pittsburgh and you're going to get one last kind of really big, resounding, crowd in the playoffs. I think Pittsburgh's a better atmosphere for me personally in terms of playoff atmospheres versus Baltimore. I'd much rather see that on my TV. Baltimore just to me is a little more depressing as a squad right now. I just don't know like what the vibes are for Baltimore, and I don't know if I'm getting anything out of it. I think they're more depressing to watch me personally when it comes to that, and I'm going to have to stare at it dead in the face for 3 hours on Sunday Night Football when my Patriots take on Baltimore next week. So, like, I just think aesthetically I need to see the Terrible Towels one more time go up against, you know, probably Buffalo, and we'll see where that kind of game goes in a wild card weekend.
Phil, imagine this.
Yes.
Wild card weekend. Game like nighttime prime time in Pittsburgh.
They're giving them the prime time game.
We get Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers versus Phillip Rivers and the Colts.
Nah, we're not. You're not getting that. You're not gonna get that.
Hey.
You're not gonna get that simply because Phillip Rivers is not gonna get to a 5 seed with where unless you have catastrophic collapses between Buffalo, Los Angeles, and Houston out there. And I'm sorry. I know you want it. It's not gonna happen. In terms of that, I'm trying to like project where so if like wild card weekend right now where we sit, you have like New England, Houston, which would probably feel like they want to put Romo and Nance on that and put CBS and make it like a 4:15 kind of Sunday game, right, or something like that. Buffalo, Jacksonville screams the early Saturday. I don't know. I don't know if they put Josh Allen there. I think they would put Josh Allen in. It might be like the Monday game. Like they put the Monday late game, you know what I'm talking about, in wild card weekend now. Los Angeles, Pittsburgh would be so like early Saturday.
I think they put an NFC game in the primetime Sunday slot because I just think
San
that
Francisco Philly would be that.
San Francisco Philly or even Chicago versus Green Bay. That would I think those two would probably be a primetime game. I think in terms of like night games, I think the best chance for the Steelers would probably be like the Monday game.
They would shove Seattle. Actually, I think they would shove Seattle Tampa to the Monday.
Tampa did play on Monday in the wild card round
And last year they played Sunday against Jaden Daniels and the company. That was the Sunday night matchup. So usually they like to throw Tampa in the night game in terms of it. But it was backloaded with the NFC playoffs. The AFC like started the playoffs last year. It was weird. It was very strange. They like had all the AFC teams play at the beginning of the weekend, and then it was at the tail end of it.
The Packers-Eagles was the afternoon Sunday game. And you had the Commanders, Bucks,
and then the Vikings Rams game.
Vikings Rams
game
was
Monday.
So they
may flip it. I think for fair nature of it, they may flip it around. But
they gave the Steelers last year the Saturday night game.
It
was because it was a Baltimore.
But it was on Prime. It was like a weird Prime game. Like,
was it?
It was discussed. Yeah, it was. It was kind of shoved on Prime. Here's the pro thing for you if you want Pittsburgh in the primetime slot. Potentially last Aaron Rodgers game. Yeah. And that's simply enough for, I think, a lot of people to be warranting to watch the game.
Which quarterback would that give like the most credence to give them the primetime slot? I think it would be Justin Herbert probably.
Well, yeah, if it's Herbert versus Rodgers.
That would be a cool primetime.
Yeah, to put it like Sunday night.
Yeah.
Yeah, in that slot. We're 3 weeks away. We're still
we're acting like Pittsburgh is gonna make the
playoffs. Well, what's so crazy now is that like I think we really know the field, like outside of two random outside factors in terms of Detroit and outside of Detroit knocking on the door, and on the other side, you know, Old Man Rivers and Indies trying to just hold on, and then there's Baltimore, and then there's Carolina just slinking along in terms of that.
Yeah,
that's your field. Like nobody else is in it. I'm not gonna give the Cowboys their plus 20,000 chance they're gonna win the division in terms of that. So, I mean, and who else has the long shot odds?
Those are the five teams outside the playoffs that still have a chance.
Yeah,
Cowboys, Panthers, Lions, Ravens, and Colts.
I did a playoff machine earlier today. By the way, Tanvir, you would have hated it. I had like Pittsburgh and Baltimore. Who did I have? I had Pittsburgh and Baltimore. Oh, no, I had Pittsburgh and Indy as a 5-6, or a 6-7 in the wild card.
Okay.
Yeah. Knocking out somebody. I think knocked out Houston. I'm just trying to get sicko.
Yeah.
I was trying to go sicko mode there. Okay. Let's take a break. Let's talk about next week already. Yes. Bonatti Blitz coming up next here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. I did some calculations on some schedule drafts. I was revisiting it yesterday with Tim Veer, I was revisiting it here in the mid-break. But we did these schedule drafts at the beginning of the season, like I like to do, where whoever's the best point differential at the end of the season, doesn't matter the record, whoever has the best point differential ends up winning the pride of being able to pick the most favorable games for the teams. And the Raiders draft, it had Asa in it, and we each had four games. And Tanvir is leading the pack in terms of bad picks. You have minus 51, Tanvir, with two games still left to go. Who knows what the Raiders can do against Houston and New York in this one. I have minus 43 after that. Four straight losses for me. Asa's at minus 41, despite a 10-point win for the Titans that the Raiders had. And Julia, former intern Julia, who hopefully will visit during her winter break, minus one somehow. Somehow a minus 1 point differential in three games so far for her, as she had the Patriots game, Broncos home game in Vegas, and the Jags game that went to overtime, and it was 1 point win or 1 point loss for the Raiders. Lastly, Rams here, Tanvir, and you're killing the Rams draft. I'll tell you that. You're at plus 68, and you still have two games.
Jeez. Okay.
Yeah. You had the Saints game blowout.
Oh, yeah.
You had the Cardinals game that just happened a couple weeks ago. You had the Niners game in Santa Clara.
Okay. So, that's where I was like, I think we're going to lose.
And you still have Atlanta and Seattle.
This could be a plus 100.
Who knows?
Well,
who knows?
Not the Seattle one, but the Atlanta game.
The Atlanta game. Julie's at plus 57, though, and they still have a say in it because they got the Cardinal game at the end of the year. She had the Jaguars game in London, the Niner loss on Thursday. She had the Texans game at the beginning of the year and the Bucks game that ended up being a really nice pick there on the Sunday night. I had a lot of good games, you know, close games. I picked all the close games for the Rams. I had the Colts game. I had the Titans game. I had the Seattle game in L.A. I had the Baltimore game. And then I have the Carolina loss. So I end up at plus 34, and I have no hope of pulling that one out. So there you go. All right, let's do the Benatti Blitz. We got a lot of games to rank here. And Benatti Blitz is brought to you by Grocery Outlet. If you are looking for some holiday treats and all that great deals at Grocery Outlet, be sure to stop by at our local stores here in Fresno, Northwest Fresno, Southeast Fresno, Downtown Fresno, Kerman, and Sanger. Guys, are you ready to rank 16 games on the slot here? In the NFL. You ready for
them? Let's do it.
Let's do it. Ah, yes, week 16. We really can know the playoff teams by the end of this one. We rank them in terms of the worst of the first, and we go to the worst game of the week. We go out to the desert in Las Vegas between the Raiders and the Texans. I'm not going to even, like, avoid the spoiler here in who I'm picking. This could be a bloodbath in Las Vegas between the best pass rush we see in the NFL versus the worst offensive line in the history of the NFL, potentially. If the Raiders no-showed in Philly, I'm very afraid they are no-showing here in this game against Houston. Biggest mismatch of the season so far. Get this one away from my screen as soon as possible.
Hey, this is going to be a battle for the Las Vegas Raiders to get that number one pick. But this is going to be a bloodbath, as you said. This is also my worst game of the week. Not many other words I got to say.
Yeah.
My worst game of the week as well. You know, like I said, immovable force versus unstoppable object. This is a terrible
game. Movable force.
Very movable force. Next up, Cardinals and Falcons in Arizona. I think I have it in Arizona, if I'm not mistaken. I believe it's in Arizona. Regardless, it doesn't matter to the playoff picture and whatsoever. These two teams are relevant to the playoff matchup. It is in Arizona, and I just don't have much juice to it. I don't have any fantasy implications to it, and to me, it's not worth the watch for me, Cardinals and Falcons.
I have it a little higher for myself, but that's just because I got games that I think are going to be worse. I also think that these are two teams that, as bad as they are, can churn out a pretty good performance in terms of the game quality. So I have this slightly higher, but still in my bottom five.
Yeah, like I was with them. I had it just a little higher, but I don't think it's going to be that good of a game. But like points will be scored.
The tickets for this game are going for $14.
Just got to get you there.
At this point, I might go.
Just drive to Phoenix or fly to Phoenix. You're good.
Hey, get to say you went to an NFL game.
You see Bijan Robinson. Why not? Next up, Giants and Vikings in New York City. You know, I like watching Jackson Dart play, and I may or may not have some skin in the game in terms of fantasy implications with him, but I just don't know if I trust this game to be any sort of interesting. The Giants kind of laid an egg last week against Washington, so I think these are two teams coasting to the end of the season. Good fight for the Vikings to at least somewhat almost eliminate the Cowboys, but I just got to put it here.
Yeah, Minnesota, you know, had a good win against Dallas, and I think they're going to just try and compound that with a good win at New York. You know, Jackson Dart's been in concussion protocol for like the fifth time this year, so I hope his health will be fine. But regardless, I think this game is a little higher for me just because I think these two teams can put some offensive firepower out there.
I had this a little higher just because I like both quarterbacks for both teams, and, you know, nine. But I love J.J. McCarthy. I think he did very well against the Cowboys. And Jackson Dart, I think he's just a great quarterback as well. So I think it'll be a good shootout.
Next up, Titans and Chiefs in Tennessee. The Chiefs are without Patrick Mahomes, as you know. Taking on a Titans team that I think is playing a little better as of late right now. Chiefs are really going to have to evaluate what they have on this roster outside of Patrick Mahomes, and this is a good time to do it. Three games to figure out what your roster is made of and what exactly you need to shore up in terms of it. The Titans, I think, have a real shot to win this game in terms of what they're going to be facing. Just it simply doesn't matter to the playoff picture outside of it, so I'm not totally interested in tuning in to Titans-Chiefs, but this is where it lands for me.
Yeah, this is pretty low for me as well. I have this in the fourth bottom game. Yes, the loss of Patrick Mahomes is big, but I also think this Chiefs team wasn't playing good even with Patrick Mahomes in there, so this is going to be low for me regardless. Yeah, I agree with you. I think Cam Ward has improved over the last couple of games against some very good defenses, and I think this will be another one where it's going to be kind of like a quasi-shootout, but still, I just don't care for this game, so that's why it's low for me.
You see, Cam Ward's biggest opponent isn't even the Chiefs' defense. It's his own wide receivers. So I want the Titans to do good. I really want to see Cam Ward succeed. And I think this will be a decent game considering the circumstances.
Next up, Dolphins and Bengals in Miami. Just kind of a shrug game for me in terms of this. But at least there's a few pieces fantasy-wise that I think are interesting to pay attention to. But outside of that, game doesn't matter in terms of the standings. Game doesn't really matter outside of draft positioning side of things. Joe Burrow is going to play, so we'll see what that looks like. I think people are going to pay attention to how his demeanor is going to be. Could see some differences in terms of the quarterback side of the Dolphins side of it as well. So who knows if we get Tua in this game. But Dolphins-Bengals sits here.
These are two teams that have utterly made me so mad this year because of not only the roster decisions in the preseason, but the play in the season. So this is second worst for me because I have a slight disdain for both of these teams, and both these teams not even in a playoff position. So second worst for me.
You see, I just want Joe Burrow to lose. That's all I really care about. But I hope we see Quinn Ewers out there this weekend.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool.
Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson.
Next up. Saints and Jets. Yeah, I'm putting it this high. I like Tyler Shook. I like watching the Saints team ball out. And you know what? They're going to ball out against this Jets defense, and that's comically fun to watch for me in terms of that. So Jets have been so horrible on that side of the ball. I don't know exactly what they're doing at all. Tyler Shook going to be a daily fantasy like superstar for you if you're going to go like low buy on a quarterback. I love the idea of this game happening. I know it means nothing, but I just love the comic nature of what the Jets have been doing this year. So give me Brady Cook against Tyler Shook. Give it to me.
Yeah, this is a Saints team that could be on a little three-game winning streak if they beat the Jets here. Besides that, like, I couldn't care less about this Jets team as they're devoid of talent and they just don't have any wins on them that are of substance. So, yeah, this is fourth lowest for me. Besides the Tyler Shook factor, not really interested.
We all love Tyler Shook. You know, I said it last week, Tyler Shook, Oregon Duck legend. But this week, this is Tyler Shook, Texas Tech legend.
Okay.
And I think he's going to have another great showing against this Jets team.
Anybody can. You can play quarterback against the Jets.
Let's do it.
put him in. Put him in. Next up, the first standalone Saturday game, Commanders and Eagles, sits here next. The Eagles are just basically a breath away from winning the NFC East. All they got to do is really contain a Commanders team that, hey, I thought offensively they figured some things out a little bit with Mariota, who's going to be in the starting quarterback position for the rest of the season. Bill, what's up? Where were you all season? Could have used you. Anyways, Philadelphia should run away with this. I'm not making a prediction just quite yet, but, it'll make the Saturday. It's enough to keep it on the Saturday television when you're doing other things.
Yeah, Philadelphia, I think if they win this game, they'll be the first team in a long time that wins the NFC East back-to-back years. So that's something to look out for. I think Mariota actually does provide some sort of substance for this game. And I think Washington could play a little bit of spoiler. They have a decent team. It's just it just did not connect this year. And so they could play a little spoiler for Philly for their playoff aspirations.
You know, I've always loved Mariota. Mariota, I've loved him since college. But I just don't have any interest in this game at all. I put it a lot lower just because I don't think it's going to be all that interesting. Plus, we have college football playoffs on that day. So
true.
I don't consider it watchable to me, but yeah.
It's got to go somewhere. Next up, Panthers and Bucks. Yeah, I know. It's for the division. Yeah, I know. These two teams are fighting for their lives. But are they really? Have we seen that the last couple weeks? I don't know if I think we're going to get quality football here in Carolina, but somebody's got to win. And I just don't feel like I'm going to get a good football game out of these two teams. I know it'll be close. I know somebody's got to win. But I'm sorry. I think I have better interest in watching here for the Panthers and Bucks.
Man, I got this at number three.
I'm sorry.
It's fine, but I think this game will be super interesting.
They deserve to be down here with the way they played.
By the way they played, sure, but I think the game itself will be super good. I think that both of these teams do have teams that are up and down, very inconsistent. So I think for the, I guess, comedic aspect of it, I will be very entertained because one of these teams is going to come out on top, and in all reality, they probably shouldn't be in a playoff spot. So, this is my number three game of the week.
Talk about the mid bowl.
Yeah.
This is straight up mid. I think it'll still be exciting given the circumstances of both teams. You see, I love Bryce Young to light up the next 3 weeks to have a comeback player of the year statement case.
Next up, Cowboys Chargers in Dallas. I have it this high. I have a lot of Cowboys in fantasy. That's really why I'm kind of interested in this game, and that's really what's hanging on for me. I know the Cowboys are disappointing me the last couple weeks with the way their result of their season has gone. I would like to see the Chargers win this game because I do believe the Chargers would be fun to watch them compete for an AFC West championship. It's not out of the realm of possibility in my mind that the Chargers can't win the division. So give me a great matchup between, I think, a really physical Chargers defense against a fun Cowboys offense for the most part.
Yeah, I have this at number four. I think that this game, while it may not have the playoff implications of some of the other games, I also think that this game has two teams that can light it up on the offensive side of the ball. I think the Chargers had a pretty good game a couple weeks ago against the Eagles, like 2 weeks ago actually, against the Eagles. Dallas had a fun game against Minnesota, so I have this at number four, even though Dallas Cowboys don't necessarily have that big of a chance to make the playoff.
No, I had this in my top three, actually. I think this will be a great shootout between both teams. I think they're both very highly productive offenses, and I think they will just – this will be a great scoring game.
Next up, yeah, I'm putting it this high. Browns and Bills in Cleveland. I really think the matchup between these two teams, I think, favors a lot to the Browns if you really think about the matchups in terms of the run game and Quishon Judkins and what he can do. If the Browns offense gets off to a start that – is supportive to what they can do. And then on the flip side, Myles Garrett against this Bills offensive line could be a game-wrecking situation for Buffalo in this situation. Buffalo coming off a really, really uptick win against New England. There is a propensity for a letdown from this football game. So I'm curious. It could be 48-10 Buffalo, and that's fine. But I think there's a world where the Browns make this a football game.
I have this very middle of the road, but I do echo the sentiments that you have about this game, that I think that not only the fact that Josh Allen could have, or he has a matchup against a pretty good defense, but Myles Garrett possibly getting the sack record in this game will be so just groundbreaking, in my opinion, for a guy that's basically played less games than whatever the previous record holders did. So yeah, this is kind of middle of the road for me because I don't think Cleveland is, they've kind of let me down in terms of the offensive output over the last couple of games, but I think Buffalo versus Cleveland could be a good matchup for those two players.
Please, God, no, don't let them break that record. That is all I care about.
I don't think it's on you, bro. No. I think that record's being broken regardless.
No,
I recognize Michael Strahan for that record, not your TJ Watt.
Hey, TJ Watt was robbed of a sack.
We're not doing this right now. We got a segment to roll.
Anyways, I have no hope in this Browns team. I think you do, but I don't. I think the Bills will win.
19-16 rounds in the third quarter. You're like, what? What's going on? All right. Next up. Lions-Steelers in Detroit just misses out my top five. This could be a pretty big mismatch in terms of the offensive output between two teams. The Steelers feel like they really got to fight hard to get to 28 points, and the Lions can just breathe and make 28 points happen for their offense. So it could be a real big mismatch between two teams. This could be a real mismatch for the Steelers defense, who has to guard against Jahmyr Gibbs in this company, against Montgomery in this team. Amon-Ra St. Brown is impossible to cover in terms of that. And if they can't generate pass rush against Jared Goff, it could be an ugly day. But playoff implications, that's why it's up this high.
Yeah, number six for me, just outside the top five. I think that Detroit versus Pittsburgh is a pretty good matchup in terms of what they have in their future. You know, Detroit needs this win if they want to get any semblance of playoff hopes. Pittsburgh needs to solidify themselves as the AFC North champ, and I think that's going to provide for a pretty cool game. So give me this at number six.
You know, I had this at my number five, and my big thing about this game is I think we're going to see a lot of silly. You know, we got Dan Campbell and the way he likes to run his offense, and I just think the way this offense has been for the Steelers, I think they're going to start pulling some tricks out because they know we need a win. And, like, I think we're going to see Darnell Washington used a lot more. I think we're going to see Jonnu Smith used a lot more. I think all those tight ends are going to be out there.
All right. Hey, the Rams killed the Lions with their tight ends yesterday or 2 days ago, so we'll see. Ravens Patriots makes my top five here. This is where it goes Sunday Night Football. I think the Patriots can bounce back, especially against this Ravens team, who, you know, they got to be thanking their lucky stars the Bengals didn't want to show up on Sunday, because I thought the Ravens were primed for a losing effort here. It's going to be interesting to see what the Patriots defense can do in terms of the run game. Still no Milton Williams, so a little concern in terms of the Derrick Henry factor in this ball game. But outside of it, Drake May can bounce back against this Ravens defense, and I look for that to happen on Sunday Night Football against Baltimore.
Yeah, I had this at number seven. I think it's a very stacked upper tier of games this week. I just think that New England provides a little bit of a matchup imbalance for the Ravens offense. I think that the New England defense, as hurt as they are with the Milton Williams factor, I still think that they'll be able to fly around and get to this Ravens offense, because I don't think that their passing game is that good. So I have this at number seven because I think the New England Patriots will be able to deal with them, especially after a loss against the Buffalo Bills.
I think Drake Money May has that hunger in him. He wants to win again. I think we're going to see a different Drake May out there this week. I think he's going to be a lot. He's going to be hungry. And I think against this Ravens team, who's also very hungry for that playoff spot, for that top AFC North seed, I think we're going to have a great game.
Next up, Monday Night Football. Colts and Niners sits here at number four. The Niners defense, I talked about the concerns we have with them and the inability to generate pass rush. This is a quarterback like Phillip Rivers, 44 years old, is a guy you could try to get sacks on in terms of it. But the Colts offense doing enough what it needed to do to almost beat Seattle. Unfortunately, the Colts defense didn't quite do as much there in that department. The Niners could exploit those mismatches with what the Colts have on defense, but I think this is a competitive game on Monday Night Football, and I definitely look forward to it.
Yeah, number five for me, I think this is obviously a massive game for the 49ers. I think this is the most important of the final three games for them, because I've stated that if you can win this game, you can afford to lose a Chicago or a Seattle game, which I believe are much tougher games. So this is a must-win for San Francisco. I think San Francisco, their offense is going to be playing pretty well against this Indianapolis Colts defense, even though they are very tough. And I think because of the lack of pressure that the 49ers defensive line provides, the Colts could also score a lot of points. So I think you could see a shootout on Monday night.
You know, I agree with him. I think we're going to see a very good shootout. And I've been riding the Phillip Rivers wave since last week when it got announced.
I announced on this show last week.
Yeah.
Today. Yeah.
But I'm loving it, and I'm going to continue to ride it.
Next up, Broncos and Jaguars in Denver is number three. Just AFC implications, AFC seeding implications here sitting for these teams. I think the Jaguars have sneakily been very good these last 5 weeks in terms of it. And Trevor Lawrence has gotten hot, which I think is fun to watch in terms of his development. Is he fully developed as a quarterback that you've finally been waiting for him to see? A win on the road in Denver certainly could solidify that opinion. Let's see it. Sunday.
Yeah, I figured that this match would be the one that I have lower than everybody else. I have it at number eight, and not that I think it's not going to be a good game. I just feel like I'm more interested in the other ones. I don't know why. I just feel like with Jacksonville, I still don't know how real they truly are. And with Denver, I feel like that is a team that's been undefeated at home all year long. And I just see that Denver will just take care of business. So this is at number eight for me, but I don't think this is going to be a bad game at all.
I don't think this is going to be a bad game. I don't have interest in watching the Broncos or the Jaguars at all. I think the Broncos have lucked into a lot of wins this season, and I've never been interested in Jaguars football at all. Sorry, Asa.
Hey, Travis Etienne's having a good year. I'll tell you that. I think he's been fun to watch the last few weeks. Next up, Bears-Packers Sunday or Saturday night game. You know, it's for the division. It's for the NFC North, and all things considered, Packers could win this one and really solidify it for themselves. No Micah Parsons. Did it really matter, though? I don't know if they generated as much pressure on Caleb Williams as they did a couple weeks ago. Will we get the same story from a couple weeks ago? With it all so fresh in the minds of both teams, you wonder what kind of adjustments can be made as opposed to teams that play at the beginning and at the end of the year. So, we're going to know who's going to get a home game in the playoffs from this one, and you would not expect a knockdown, drag-out fight between two teams that desperately would want to win this game.
Yeah, with Micah Parsons out, I think that allows Caleb Williams to have a little bit more time in the pocket, and I think when Caleb Williams has time in the pocket, he is a very good quarterback. I think that Chicago has the opportunity to kind of put a stranglehold on this NFC North, and I think this is going to be their coming out party. I also think Green Bay is going to provide a lot of pressure after that loss to Denver, so this is also my number two game of the week.
Yeah, I think number two is a good spot for this game. I think just with what's on the line and where both teams are at right now, I think we're just going to get a great game, and it's always a great game between these two teams. I mean, it's a historic matchup, so.
And the coup d'etat, the number one, the creme de la creme. Seahawks, Rams, Thursday night. Was there any other choice for the number one game of the week? Two 11-3 teams. It came down to a last-second field goal that Jason Myers missed in L.A. The Rams at the height of their powers, despite, though, maybe not having Devontae Adams in this game, we will see, versus a Seahawks team that has quietly not played up to the standard, I would say, from their offensive standpoint. Can they grasp what's going on? Can Sam Darnold finally figure out this Rams pass rush? This has been his bugaboo. This has been his nightmare. It's like Manning against the Patriots in the beginning of his career. I don't know if I trust Sam Darnold in this game to figure out what the pass rush will present in terms of that. Outside of it, I'm fascinated. Can't wait to see who wins the NFC West potentially out of this game on Thursday.
You know, I think there are always games throughout a year that you hallmark because it shows if a team is for real or if they're fake. And I think that this game for the Seattle Seahawks is truly going to spell out for me, are they real or are they fake? And I think that with a good performance and a win that they need to win the division, you know, you can lead the division with a win in this game. They're going to have to come out and play a really good game against this Rams team that is on fire right now. So I also have this at number one. I think this is going to be the most entertaining game of the week, not just for the reason of in the game, but also massive implications for the NFC playoffs.
I had this at number one, too. There was no doubt about it at all. Just with everything that's at stake and what like these two teams are doing right now, I agree with what Tanvir says. If the Seahawks win this game, it proves they are a real team. Granted, I think Sam Darnold does struggle with pressure a lot, and that's been his major thing his entire career. But if he can prove that he can beat this Rams pass rush, I think that really solidifies what the Seahawks can do this season.
And that is your Benatti Blitz for Week 16. All right, guys, let's take a break. Let's wrap up this hour next on 1430 ESPN. To Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Excuse me. We just got a couple minutes here before we get to hour number two on our docket here. We did have a little – I got to find that. Yeah, okay, here we go. We did have a little bit of a transfer news update from Fresno State. Jaden Davis going on Twitter today. Saying he is going to enter the transfer portal as a graduate transfer with 1 year of eligibility remaining. So, unfortunately, a piece of the secondary will not be for this Bulldog side. But, you know, he played really well. And it's one of those situations where you have to do the best you can for yourself. And 32 total tackles, 4 pass defense, 2 INTs, 3 TFLs, all that. 10-plus starts this year, last couple seasons, you know. He was a piece to the secondary. I'm sure Fresno State would like to have him for this bowl game, but the nature of college football will say yes. You got to go find the spot that fits for you. And like we said, we don't know quite both sides of the conversation, and maybe that is one of the conversations Coach Ed said, hey, You're a really good football player, and I don't know if we can keep you. And go find something that works for you, and we're rooting for you. And I think that's kind of one of those situations for Jaden Davis. So curious to see where he goes for sure. We'll have the pieces to move on without him there at the bowl game. So I would imagine, but it's the nature of college football, right, Timber?
Nature of college football. I really can't do much about it. If he feels he has a better opportunity elsewhere, then you got to kind of just respect that decision. And I think that Fresno State will, I mean, they've done a good enough job in recruiting, in my opinion, to kind of fill those gaps. And also just the guys that are returning, I still believe in some of the players.
Yeah, Simeon Harris won. By the way, he tweeted, can't wait for the bowl, no panic. So good to know Simeon Harris is locked in for the bowl game. I got to imagine potentially maybe a Zillian Hamilton, we'll see for sure. He'll be his last game as a Bulldog. I know some guys are going to be interested in where they go draft-wise moving forward. I saw someone projecting a Zillian Hamilton six-rounder in a little mock-up, but you never know. Like, down in those rounds, like, anything could happen. So
for sure.
I'm not locking that in stone for sure. So
can I give 10 seconds?
Yeah, 10 seconds.
Yeah, Boise State, you know, what a performance by the Mountain West champions.
Oh, man.
Jeez.
That's what I smelled when I got to SoFi on Sunday. It was their performance. Anyways. All right. Let's take a break. Hour number two coming up next on 1430.
He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again in anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guest.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last five, 6 weeks. But super excited to be here.
Phil Benatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Hour number two of two before we send it out to Las Vegas for the NBA Cup Final between the OKC, not the OKC Thunder, no. It's the San Antonio Spurs.
And we beat them.
You beat the OKC. I was opening a page. It showed me OKC. Cut me some slack.
Don't worry, man. Like, everybody is lost to the Oklahoma City Thunder.
The Spurs and the Knicks tonight. Wemby versus Towns. You got, De'Aaron Fox versus Brunson. I don't know. I'm trying to think of some matchups on the court.
Oh, you're right.
You know, things will happen. Things will happen in tonight's game for sure, which gets going. 5:30 tip, 5 o'clock pregame on 1430, which you can listen to now. We'll take this time. Reminder, Auburn Santos and her coach Anthony B will be in for Justin Garza. We're going to talk to Justin Garza, girls basketball, talk about their season so far this year. She's our student athlete of the week from last week, and so good to get them in studio here. All right, so Knicks Spurs is where we end up in terms of NBA Cup final, which has been, I think, for the last couple of years. You know, I hear sports talk and people are, well, is it necessary? Is it something we need? Is it something? Is it just a money grab for the NBA? Is it, you know? And I sit there, and I think a lot of people are. You know, I am the indifferent type for sure in terms of what the cup is. It's like, you know, it's an extra game. Like the play-in, like whatever, it's, you know, I'm excited to watch a matchup like this. And I think what the juice that came from the semifinals, I think a lot of people were interested in, at least what, Tanvir, you were saying, did you feel like you were watching a playoff game between the Spurs and the Thunder that Saturday matchup, yeah, right?
Yes, I was. I think... For me personally, I think the NBA Cup is very good because I think it gives some type of like substance to the first half of the regular season for the NBA, which to me personally, like I like the NBA, you know, just season in general, but I am very disinterested when I have to watch the first half of the NBA regular season. So I like that the NBA Cup has been instituted over the last couple of years. I'm not saying it's like insanely groundbreaking, but I still like it more than just watching a normal NBA game. So I think it's a very good tournament in itself.
Yeah, great, fantastic analysis. But all I could hear was just crumpling from Daniel. Are you enjoying your Oreos, Daniel? Do you like the Oreos as we're critically analyzing this run in the NBA Cup on Nash? You have enough time to drink that milk and have some Oreos?
I didn't realize you could hear it at first. And then I was like,
loud and clear. Dog.
Yeah. I was like about to slap the Oreos out of his hand, bro.
I didn't realize it was that loud.
Bro.
It's all good.
I'm glad you're enjoying your Oreos. I hope they were delicious. Both teams coming into a similar record tonight. Fair or unfair, if we're going to go daily spread, brought to you by Chichansey Gold Resort Casino, this is a good game to look at it. I'm a little surprised at the spread here. Knicks 2.5 are the favorite tonight as opposed to the Spurs. I feel like I'd be betting on the Spurs tonight based off just the rigors of the Western Conference. Both teams with a similar record. I'd like to believe that the Spurs are I think just in terms of the comparison of both teams, it's going to be interesting to watch, but I think this line's wrong. I think the Spurs should be at least favored by 2.5, in my opinion. Fair or unfair on the line between the Knicks and the Spurs tonight?
I mean, even if you want to say that I'm being a homer for the Spurs, I still think this is an unfair line. Yes, the Knicks are coming in with a 5-game winning streak, but if you actually look at those games, Orlando, Toronto, Orlando, Utah, Charlotte, it's not as impressive as the Spurs' last 5 runs where they've beat OKC, beat the Lakers. Yes, there was a New Orleans game in there, and sure, they lost to Cleveland, but they beat Orlando, beat Memphis, beat Denver, at Denver. So I think the Spurs may have a lower line because Victor Wembanyama may still be on a minutes restriction in this game. But otherwise, I still think that the Spurs should be the favorites. And if you're going to, you know, bet on anybody, I think it would be that team versus the Knicks.
Daniel, what do you feel? Where are you feeling in this game? Between just objectively, we're looking at Spurs, Knicks, both teams on the court in a game like this. What do you sit there and think about with this matchup?
Well, I think if Wemby is on a minutes restriction, I think the spread is fine. I think it's like should be set as is. But if he wasn't on a minutes restriction, I think it could go like 1.5 either way, or even just a half point either way. Because like I do think either of these teams are good. I haven't been much into basketball at the start of the season. Just because my team is absolutely terrible. But that's
I'm kind of there with you, honestly. I'm getting there with you in basketball, at least from my own perspective, man. It's been we're not as bad as you guys, but the Warriors, man, are making it tough to watch basketball. You know, so Steph Curry just giving his body all every night and out, and nothing happening. Anyways, here's an interesting stat line to listen and think about in this one. This is a kind of what's got to give here between these two teams in terms of this ranking. Knicks rank second in the NBA in terms of second chance points per game. That means offensive rebounds, second opportunities, and where they can score on the offensive side. Spurs rank third when in opponents' second chance points per game this year. Knicks score 18.2 points per game on the second chance points. Spurs allow 13.6 points per game on the second chance points. So I wonder if you think about the matchup, the offensive rebounding and where that'll go. If Wemby's limited in terms of his minutes, like you said, Daniel, will there be the impact moments like the Knicks can have to get those second chance opportunities when Wemby is not on the floor? Can they capitalize in those situations? Because as you know, if Wembanyama is on the floor, you know, those second chance opportunities certainly diminish for the Knicks in terms of that. So what's going to give when Wemby's off the floor? How much can the Knicks capitalize on what they do well, which is offensive rebounding?
I think that because Luke Kornet has been playing really well, I think that the drop-off is not necessarily going to be as drastic as we may think it is. I think Wembanyama is one of the best players in the league. And if you look at the plus-minus statistics, when Wembanyama is off the floor, the Spurs are actually very much in the negative. And when he's on the floor, it's one of the highest positives in the league. I think it's in the range of like Nikola Jokic with the Denver Nuggets. So, yes, the the pairing of Karl Anthony Towns and Mitchell Robinson can definitely take the offensive rebounds. But I also think that defensively, this San Antonio Spurs team is better than the New York Knicks. And I think with that defensive pressure, we'll force more mid-range shots and three-point shots. And therefore, I think with Wembanyama not having necessarily the pressure to rebound in the paint, that is going to allow the San Antonio Spurs to get more boards instead of offensive boards for the New York Knicks, because there will be a lot of one-on-one matchups under the rim.
In terms of the Knicks' ability to score, like we're talking about, right? Because I think that's where it is. Like, if you think about where the production can come from, here's another interesting stat. Josh Hart's been moved to the starting lineup since basically Thanksgiving time for the Knicks. Knicks are 9-1 since they did that move to the lineup. That's the best record in the NBA in that span, even better than the Thunder. They've been second-ranked offensive efficiency, sixth in defensive efficiency. It's not like Josh Hart's like a guy who is completely changing the game for them, but it allows some of their other talented players to assume different roles in this roster and the way he's been able to contribute. Jalen Brunson's had 30-plus points in the last four games, including his 40 on Saturday. So Brunson's getting hot at this time as well going into this game. So the guard play for the Knicks versus what the Spurs have on the other side, Stephen Castle's been amazing since he's returned, right? You know that, Tim Veer, in terms of that. But it's going to be interesting to see. I think that's where the game can be won tonight. I know Wemby is the big name everybody thinks about, and everybody thinks about Bodega Cat and Karl Anthony Towns and that flip side. But I think it's outside the paint. It's outside everything in this basketball game that actually wins the game tonight, as opposed to what happens inside.
Yeah, I think with also the Knicks having losses to Landry Shamet and Miles McBride, that's about 20 points per game mm-hmm. that you are losing. I think that's also I agree with you. That's where the Spurs can take advantage. You have elite guards. I think if you're not going to say four elite guards, then you at least should say two elite guards. Stephon Castle, De'Aaron Fox, Devin Vassell, and Dylan Harper are all playing great right now. Fox is averaging 23, Castle's averaging 18, Vassell with 15, and Harper, generally coming off of the bench, is averaging 13 points per game, and that's a really good clip for a rookie that's coming off of the bench behind these guys. So this is a very deep guard pool that the Spurs can rotate. I also think on the flip side, when you talk about Wemby off the floor, I think with Brunson off the floor, mm-hmm. that could also be an issue for them, because you don't have McBride, you don't have Shamet, so you're going to have to rely on guys like Josh Hart and Mikal Bridges to kind of bring the ball up, and I think that's where the Spurs four-guard rotation can really hurt them.
I asked this question on the sheet here, our producer sheet. Who would benefit more from a win tonight? In this game, who would benefit more from an NBA Cup title, whatever that means, whatever that stands for in terms of the development, in terms of the validation? We've kind of realized whoever wins the cup isn't necessarily lighting the world on fire as a team towards the tail end of it. But I'm not saying that these two teams can't compete when it comes to getting to a finals. But I think there's a different feel to this cup as the other two championships have been, with what the Lakers did 2 years ago, with what the Bucks did last year. I think this is starting to shift into a teams are really more taking it seriously this go around, as opposed to the last couple. It takes some time. But back to the further question of who would benefit more from a win tonight, I think it's a fascinating question to think about. I think there's a right answer for me, and I kind of lean to the West team for it, but I'm curious what you guys think of it.
To me, I think it's the Spurs. I think they would benefit more from it with a win, because with the how young this team is, and like given they're playing in a high pressure, high intensity moment of like something that's so high stakes. Yeah, it's not an NBA Finals, but it's an NBA Cup final, and it's still for something. And I feel like to have that experience, just to like feel that type of pressure, would be good, especially for them should they make the playoffs at the end of the season and have to feel this pressure going into April and May.
Yeah, I think that both teams have different reasons for why they need to win. I think I'm going to start on the Knicks side because I think the Knicks have been a team that has been consistently good for more years out of the Eastern Conference in the last couple of years. They brought back a lot of their guys that they had from their run from last year where they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals and were ousted by the Indiana Pacers. So I think for their progression of trying to gain some confidence in the playoffs, I think this could be big for the Knicks, but I also think that the Spurs would benefit more. This is a team that has little to no playoff experience, and I think that playing these type of games, it is semi-high pressure scenario games because it is a tournament format. And so regardless of what you want to say, if you're going to say, oh, this is just a glorified regular season game, there's still something on the line. And I think that the Spurs can use this momentum and use this sort of games to help them when they get to the playoffs and have more confidence in playoff settings in high pressure situations.
Could you argue the Spurs already had that from Saturday and maybe the Knicks want that kind of moment for them? If you think about it, I'm not saying the Spurs don't, like, the Spurs would love to win the, like, obviously have this as something that they can kind of put a feather in their cap and then feel like they won the first third of the season, things considered. I mean, everyone knows what the Thunder are, but you know what you did beating the Thunder on Saturday certainly is enough in some people's opinion that I think the Spurs got what they got out of the NBA Cup, regardless of what happens tonight. And maybe I think of what the Knicks have gone through and how they've gone through this season. Maybe that's more for the Knicks side. If I'm going from the Knicks argument in terms of it, I would say the Knicks would want to have that kind of moment for them tonight.
I think you could have that argument, but I also think that in the playoffs, you're not going to just be playing up to an opponent. You're going to have some situations where you're playing against a team that's probably a lower seed than you. And so understanding, yes, the Thunder are a better team than the Knicks, and you did beat the Thunder, but you still have to go out there and play the Knicks and win this game. So I think you know, a Knicks win, yes, I believe will be big for them, and I detailed why. But I also think the Spurs can take a lot away from this if they were to win, because it allows them to see how you play up against the team. I'll have a higher seed in a high pressure situation, and a team that is a lower seed than the team you previously played.
Who does win tonight? I know who you're gonna pick, Tim.
Well, I think it's going to be the Knicks because I also, okay. Yeah, I'm being, obviously I'm a Spurs fan, but I'm going to go against what I want in my heart because I think that the Spurs, with the high that they had in that Thunder game, they're going to come out and realize, okay, yes, we are playing the Knicks and they're not going to play as good as they did in the game against the Thunder where it was a lot of emotions in that game. So I think when you have that emotional dump, basically, because the Thunder is basically a rivalry game, I think the Knicks are going to win today.
It's like in the theory, much smaller scale of the Warriors coming back on OKC and then just completely letting that finals go against Cleveland, the next series. Daniel, who do you got tonight?
Give me San Antonio. I just like the San Antonio team in general, just the way they play, how they flow. Like, I just love it a lot.
Hey, I would love that. I would.
I have tossed back and forth. I said San Antonio should be the favorite, but the more I look at the numbers and the more I think of the way the Knicks have been playing of late, I think Jalen Brunson and his ability to score as of late as well, I think I lean Knicks just slightly. It's going to be a great game.
I think if the Spurs play the way that they play,
they
will win this game. I just think because there was so much emotion in the last game, you're going to have that emotional dump and you're ultimately not going to be prepared for a game that you should probably win.
Yeah. Should be fascinating. And of course, it starts right here at 5:00 on 1430 ESPN here. So we'll take you to that game as soon as we get to it in Vegas. All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to bring in our guest here, our student athlete of the week from last week, Auburn Santos of Justin Garza girls basketball. We got also head coach Anthony B as well here. So we're going to bring him in and talk about Justin Garza girls basketball next on 1430 ESPN, Fresno the Valley's local sports leader. Welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. And we're pleased to be joined by a couple great guests in studio here now. Auburn Santos of Justin Garza girls basketball. We also got head coach Anthony B, right?
Yeah,
right. Hold on. I got the wrong mic for you here. Give me a sec. I'll get this one. You stay right there. That is my apologies. Now we got you on the right mic.
Now you got the name.
Now we got the name right. Anthony B here as well. Vern, good to have you both here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, glad to be talking to you both, of course. And first of all, congratulations, Auburn, on winning Student Athlete of the Week for us here.
Thank you.
Yeah, how does it feel?
It feels great. I'm very honored. Yeah. I want to thank my family, my team, of course, and, you know, coaches and you guys for blessing me with this.
Absolutely. It's great to have you. Great to recognize your achievements this season, of course, so far. And I know you got plenty of great things coming along your way, but we want to recognize what has been a great start to your season, of course. And student athlete is such a big statement, mm-hmm. right? And not just the athlete, but the student as well.
Absolutely.
And coach, you agree with that sentiment?
I agree with that sentiment without a doubt. You know, I know we really preach student athlete on campus. I know we set our bars high for a 3.5 and above GPA, and right now our girls are really hitting that mark really well. But student athlete, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that one. That's what we are bred on right now.
And so, speak to Auburn as a student athlete herself. You know,
she's an amazing kid. I get the privilege of watching her actually even like engage with her teammates, watch them do their study hall sections. And they are truly like helping each other out with their academics, but also just kind of seeing her around campus with some of the faculty that we have there. She's been just top notch on that one. And for someone who wants to go into forensics, she has her head on her shoulders already there. And so she's above all, but honestly, most of the girls are that way.
Absolutely. And Auburn, you know, you hear that from coach and all those instilled in you. You know, what instilled you a work ethic like that? Knowing, yeah, I know you want to, you love playing basketball, but you know, you got to do the work in the classroom to be able to play. You know, tell me where that work ethic came from for you.
Honestly, I feel like from a young age, I've always been super competitive. And just basketball has really given me that. I've tried every sport, and really that's the only one that I like. And dad's always told me to pick something you're good at and stay with it. So I just kept going, and I just kept working. And I think me thinking about, like, a future career and really setting up my life for the future, like, gets me excited. So if I can do that into a sport that I love, it really excites me.
Yeah.
And I love doing it with such a great group of girls. So.
I'm sure you're just happy you found a sport like you're talking about, like basketball being the one. Coach, I'm sure you love that you fell in love with basketball.
I've been playing this game since I was in the third grade, so I can't give it up. And it's just fun to like kind of take my knowledge and pass it down. And like I said, when you have a player like Arbor and some of my past players who are willing to accept it, it's fun to kind of bring that out. So it makes my job easier. But it's good, like I said, that when you got players who really are gym rats, and she's one of those gym rats.
Yeah, Auburn, we got you at, you know, you're top scorer for your school, of course, so far this year. But you're kind of leading the way for this group so far, and a 9-1 record. You know, really good last couple of weeks for you as we were kind of looking through, and you know, it's. You know, tell me a little bit about what it's been like in this season for you as a player, you know, being able to contribute as much as you've contributed so far this year on the court.
Mm-hmm. So I think it really starts outside the court, coming in, transferring, going to this whole new school off the bat. All these girls were so amazing to me from the beginning. And I really think that put me at like a high work ethic for them. Like, I really want to do it for them and for Coach B. You know, it hasn't been a good last couple seasons for him, and you know, it hasn't been for me either, really.
Yeah.
And so given the opportunity with like the group and the coaching staff that I have today, I really want to take advantage of it and finish off my last 2 years of varsity basketball going great, you know.
Yeah.
Excited for the future and many more to go.
Absolutely. And it feels like this is something that, you know, at least so far, 9-1 meant to be kind of situation, right, Coach? And and for her to really fit in as much as she has so far into this program, like, it's not easy for somebody to come in like this off of, you know.
I think that's the beauty of the program in general. We are very accepting of anyone that comes in. And I think our young ladies, our staff, our coaches, they're willing to accept anyone in, especially in today's environment of basketball these days.
Yeah.
But when you have someone who's willing to come in and fit in and not come in and try and take over, I think that makes a huge difference. And one of the best things that she's done is she's just come in to just to fit in. And because she's kind of come in that particular way, it allowed the girls who've already been there to actually say, yeah, come on in. Let's be a part of this together. So it was actually a good fit for really everyone. And like I've said before, they are like the best of friends on and off the court. And it's kind of funny to watch them act a fool sometimes. But that's what culture does for you when you actually have it going in the right direction.
You talk about fitting in and filling in with this roster. Who are the players that really helped you on this team for you? You're like, wow, I feel real welcome here. I feel like I can be myself.
Honestly, everybody. If you want me to name drop all of them
I really could. I'm sure they're listening, right?
No, I'm sure they are. They're super supportive. There's nobody in particular. Honestly, they all are super supportive. Yeah. They all just love me. I don't know. And I love them. I'm willing to work this hard for the season for them. And it's honestly, I just feel like it's so great because we win and we do it for each other. It's certainly not out of selfishness.
Yeah.
It's working hard for each other at the end of the day.
Well, Coach, tell me a little bit about, for people who don't know, who haven't watched Auburn play just quite yet, what kind of player, what makes her such a prolific scorer right now in the Central section?
She's hyper competitive. It's probably a good way to put it. She hates to lose, but again, she probably has the same DNA I have. I hate to lose. But her biggest thing, she's beyond competitive, and she just wants to win at all costs. And that means she's diving on the floor. She's getting after those 50-50 balls. She's willing to sacrifice some things sometimes. But she also knows she's the force multiplier on the team. And because she's that person, everyone's trying to play at her level. So it's kind of ramped up everyone's competitive fire a great deal while still teaching her some things that she can do on her side. But, if you come watch her play, you're going to see someone who's going to compete. But then once she's done competing, she's going to care about what just happened. And she's going to make it a point to make sure that everyone on the team get their fair share of the wealth. And I think that's the best choice about playing with her and coaching with her as well.
Yeah, and I go to Auburn here next, right, for you. And as an athlete, I'm sure you're always just like, all right, I could do something better here, I could do something better here. So it's hard to, pinpoint the things you feel you do well, but, what do you feel right now has given you the, you've scored very well, you've played very well. So what do you feel like has been the difference this season just in your own personal game and what you've worked on?
I would say coming from a school where I had to kind of work for my own shots and work for everything I had, coming on this team, it's kind of okay, wait, I don't have to take every shot. Mm-hmm. I can share the ball too. I feel like me going into leadership as a captain this year, sometimes I can be super overly competitive with them. And I really try so hard not to be, but that's one of my things that I'm really working on. But I think that's coming a long way because I'm building trust slowly with my team and it's bringing up my assists. So at the end of the day, I'm really helping myself, but also them because they're getting the glory of confidence when scoring, and if we win, then we all win. So
The competitiveness. Yeah. Is she talking about it in practice too, right?
Coach? Yeah. it's gotten to the point where even myself and a few other, even some of our male athletes, are really trying to get at her as well because she's just that hyper competitive. I mean, she's gotten to the point where she enjoys playing against our male athletes, and she's been giving them the business as well. And when you got an athlete of that nature, all you can do is keep putting people in front of her to kind of make her better. And she's accepted that challenge across the board. So I think that's fun to actually kind of see and watch, especially from a female sports perspective.
You challenging the guys? You challenging out there, right?
I don't know, man. I think I think I would take the cake on those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a decent boys team, too. On the other side, too. They, you know, it's
Our boys team are doing well.
Yeah.
Our boys team are doing well.
It's good to be Justin Garza basketball right now. I'm kind of looking through the season, of course. And I see the results here. You know, you start off the season, go through a tournament, you get a tournament victory, right? And tight battles. You had Stockdale with a tight battle there. You beat Wasco, you beat South. You know, just kind of thinking of how the season has kind of progressed outside of the 2-point loss to Mendota. You know, it's not been – there's been some games you've been able to pull away. There's been some tight battles as well.
Yeah.
As a coach, I think you invite the experiences of that, right?
Yeah, I told them I love tight games. Tight games, it builds character is kind of how I look at it. A lot of our games that you'll see outside of that Mendota game to a certain degree, the ones we've kind of run away with it, a lot is just because of the conditioning piece of it. Well, it's a tight game probably all the way through the third quarter, and then all of a sudden our conditioning takes off, and now we're just up and down the court. And I think that's something that we've kind of learned how to do here over time. So we've pride ourselves in keep going, regardless of what the situation is. We're going to keep on moving. We're going to keep on playing our pace. And as long as we've done that, we've been able to just run through people from that particular part. And it's been a lot of fun kind of watching them progress through it.
Auburn, how tough is the conditioning to be a player at Justin Garza? Like, how much does Coach B push you all? So, because obviously he talks about it. Those are you see the examples of that work. So tell me a little bit about how much the conditioning pushes you.
Oh, my gosh. Where do I start? It's a lot because we are like a defensive oriented team. I feel like it comes in with a lot of defensive drills. It comes with a lot of conditioning, like before season, over summer. We are doing full track workouts. We don't even get to touch a basketball. Yeah. You have to earn it. And then at that point, it's like 5 miles in the morning. Then you got 5 miles after school. And then when you think you're going to touch a basketball, you don't. You run five more. And it just keeps going. But I feel like once you reach that point where you just stop thinking about how tired you are and how much your muscles hurt, I feel like at that point it's like, okay, basketball's fun now because I'm less tired. I get to do all the fun things that I want to do.
Because at that point when you're in an overtime game with Kingsburg and everybody's huffing and puffing, you feel like you got a little extra edge
absolutely.
Kind of like that. You know, stuff like that when you get into it and you get in a tournament and you're just coming off of this tournament beating Tulare Western in the last game, you know, in terms of that. You guys are set ahead to Vegas in a couple days, right? So when it comes to this part of the season where it kind of preps you for the later part of the season, what do these tournaments tell you as a team? I'm from a player perspective, as a coach perspective, I can go back to Auburn here first and we'll go to coach. You know, Auburn, when it comes to the tournaments, what do you learn most about your team in these back-to-back-to-back days of games?
So I feel like it depends on the teams that we play, because a lot of the times we are big in the paint. So it's like physical games, and then it's like other games where it's like, okay, our guards need to step up. And I feel like as games continue on, we build a stronger team chemistry with each other. And I feel like as we progress, we find new strengths in each other that we can like abuse in further games. And, you know, implementing new plays. And I feel like as we go on, like, it just brings more confidence to the other players, because it gets so exciting when we're in wins and then our bench gets to play and, you know, getting all excited for the bench players. I feel like it's a really good season so far. I'm really excited.
Yeah. And, Coach, from your perspective, what you want, what do you look for out of your team?
I'm looking for always, like, just getting better. Like, we go into practice trying to get better. We come out of games. The goal is to be 1-0 coming out of a game. That's what I really preach the most of.
Yeah.
And when we go into our tournaments, even the ones coming up, it's like, are we getting ourselves ready for that long marathon? Because, again, we don't want to be peaking right now. We want to be peaking, again, in the middle of February. When state playoffs come around and so forth. But it gives me a good gauge of where we are as a collective whole team when we start talking about, like, all four phases of the game. And I think that's the part that I kind of pay attention to the most. And then I'll sit back and kind of, like, watch the girls. And, again, we do a lot of running, a lot of playing. Do I need to scale back on some of the conditioning piece of it, trying to save some legs a little bit, have more fun in practice when we can. Just so they're not, like, mentally worn out to a certain degree. But it does give me a chance to gauge where they are mentally and physically. as we're kind of progressing, especially as we get into conference play.
When you think about what you have on this group and obviously the start that you like to have right now at 9-1, when you've coached some other teams, right? And, yeah. And when you think about what this team's ceiling is, do you allow yourself to think about that right now? Or?
I try not to. I'd rather have them produce their ceiling. My job is to coach them as hard as I can while giving some flexibility to kind of make those mistakes that they actually make. But their ceiling is going to be predicated on what they want to achieve. And ultimately, for me, it's the scholarships. You know, I got to get them all scholarships. You know, mom and dad don't need to pay for college if we can avoid it.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying my best to do. But their ceiling is how far they want to take it. My job is to kind of be right along with them and kind of push them to what that ceiling is going to look like.
And when you hear that from coach, you know, not just obviously the winning, but the setting up your future. Auburn, I know you're just a junior, so you got – but I'm sure you're thinking about it, right, a little bit like that. So what do you – first of all, how is that going? What are you looking at some places the next you're thinking about it, or you're putting out some stuff, I'm sure.
I'm thinking about it. I'm trying.
Yeah. So, but in terms of that, when it comes to the winning aspect and what your ceiling is and what you create out of your ceiling, you know, what comes to mind when you hear coach say that about what this team can be?
I think the sky is the limit, honestly. I feel like we're always trying to get better. I feel like everybody's work ethic is really crazy. I feel like even though we all may not be good at something, I feel like we always try. We always give it 100% effort.
All right. Well, last question before I start doing the prize giveaway here for you. Who are your biggest inspirations that you can talk about, like, basketball players you watch or people, you know, like, tell me a little bit about, like, who inspires you in the game of basketball?
Honestly, I learn something new every day from my teammates. My coach, oh my god. Like, I pull up to practice, he's like one-on-one right now. So I learn a lot of new things from him. My dad, he's like my number one supporter. He's always there. Yeah, I may have like a 45 point game and you could have had 50.
Yeah,
but he's always pushing me for more, and I know I can always depend on him when I need it, and I know he just means the best. He's expecting so much from me, and I do the same with myself.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Awesome to have family support.
Our parents are amazing. I don't know if the program is where it is without our tremendous parents that we have within the program itself, and that's at this level and all the way down as well, and I like thank them like there's no tomorrow, because it makes it easier for me as a head coach to have that type of support outside of the game of basketball, and obviously they all trust me to actually take care of their kiddos, and I value that trust probably more than anything.
Absolutely. Well, Auburn, great job, and comes some things I'm going to give you here. Hopefully I can do this in a very easy fashion with the microphone and everything. Okay. I have a bag of goodies here for you. There's some tickets to a Fresno State basketball game. I checked the schedule. I think you should be able to make the date I gave you. So they're in there. There's a T-shirt for you.
Oh, wow.
There's a KFC voucher in there. Oh, Toledo's hooking you up with a family four-pack.
Thank you.
As well, I'm sure. Yes. And we also got one of these, which I'm sure you see on the social media platforms. I'm going to hold it up for y'all.
Oh, wow.
Look at that.
Thank you.
Yes, I like
Auburn Santos. I don't know if we can get it fully on the camera. It's me. I got to shout. Get on the microphone. There we go.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to hand it over to you. There you go. You can hold it in front of this camera here for you. There you go.
There we go.
Yeah. How about that? Yeah, there you go. There we go. and we also got some stuff from Moth Farms as well for you.
Thank you.
You like milk?
Yeah, sure.
Definitely got a teammate that likes milk.
Well, Coach, because of Auburn's contributions, we're going to hook you guys up with some Moth Farm milk drop to your practice.
Definitely appreciate that.
Yeah,
thank
we'll
you.
Hook you up with that as well. We'll get you all the information after that as well. But, guys, great job this season so far. Auburn, congratulations.
Thank you.
Safe travels to Vegas.
Yes.
Hopefully coming home with a title. And then, of course, more to come this squad.
Absolutely.
I appreciate you guys stopping by. Hope you have a wonderful Christmas holiday and all that stuff as well.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us. And again, same to you. Have a phenomenal holiday season with the family, and God bless you all.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more show next. We'll wrap it all up next on 1430. ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. To Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Big thanks to Auburn Santos and Coach Anthony B. of Justin Garza High School girls basketball. Great visit with them. That was a fun time for them here to be in the studio talking about their season. Really enjoyed that conversation. And if you missed it, you can listen to our show as soon as we wrap up. On demand on 1430ESPNFresno.com or on the ESPN Fresno app. All of those great locations for you. Or you can go back to the YouTube page, scrub back, watch our stream on ESPN Fresno. All of those ways to watch it here is great. And guess what? We got another student-athlete interview in 2 days. We're going to have another one. Trying to play catch-up a little bit. I sit here and the schedule just wreaks havoc on these things we try to do. So no fault to them. It's just tournament season for basketball. So, but now I think people are a little interested in Justin Garza basketball. 9-1, you know, off to a good start. We like him. And no, she was great. She was great. So
I mean, if your team has chemistry, that you're already halfway there. You know, yeah. So you combine that with talent, and I think they can make it pretty far.
You'll take it. You'll take it. All right, let's talk about the schedule upcoming because, folks, it's going to be different. It's for sure. We have Sharks and Flames tonight over on 790 back in San Jose. Sharks, man, they got to this is always the problem, right, with these kind of games is, Tamir, you can't lose the game after the emotional win. You can't do it. Too many times you get the loss after the emotional win. There's a few teams in the NFL I'm looking at that are like that. In terms of a candidate for it, and the Sharks are in the same boat right now. Got to play the Flames the right way.
Yep.
Flames have been playing better, by the way. I got a little update for you in terms of the Flames. They've won 7 straight games against the Sharks dating back to a couple seasons ago.
Different Sharks.
Different Sharks, we hope. Sharks, they lost a mind-numbingly horrible game, and they had nothing in Calgary. Back when they were on their other big long win streak. So hopefully they can exercise some demons. Flames are minus 142 favorites tonight in terms of it. Probably because Will Smith's hurt tonight. So yeah. Macklin's 47 points, third most in the NHL behind Connor McDavid, Nate McKinnon. He is seeking to become the third player in Sharks history to record 50 points in a season before the Christmas break. Owen Nolan, Joe Thornton. Those are the names. Anyways. All right. What else do we got? Reminder, tonight we got the NBA Cup Final. That's what's coming up at 5 o'clock. Tomorrow we'll have Sportsline Bulldog Hour, Tony D, 2 to 3. We'll have my show, 3 hours, the last 3-hour show of the year for me. One final 5 of 5. I better come up with a good idea for a 5 of 5. Ace is coming in tomorrow.
It's got to be Christmas-related.
Yeah, Christmas-related, something like that. The best gifts of the sports season this past year? I don't know. Maybe I
like that idea.
Think about it. Sunbird Sports Show at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Paul Metter's final Sunbird Sports Show of the year, calendar-wise. So I heard he's got a really good guest list coming in, some Hall of Fame potential names in terms of Sunbird sports lore. So it's a Sunbird sports show you don't want to miss at 6 o'clock tomorrow. We'll have Sportsline Building Hour, Tony D, 2 to 3 on Thursday. We'll have my show from 3 to 5 on Thursday. We'll have Rams Seahawks on Thursday Night Football at 5 o'clock on 1430 over on 790. Yeah, we're going to do a high school hoops game on 790. 6:15 pregame, 6:30 tip off, Central East and McLean High basketball. Good to get a little exposure to McLean High down there. And Central East was a team that was in the Sellin Arena last year fighting for a title. So, and an epic double overtime game against Mission College Prep. Friday, we'll have Sportsline Bulldog over Tony D 2-3. We'll have my show from 3 to 4:30, and then we'll send it to the college football playoff, Alabama, Oklahoma. That's what's going to be on at 4:30 on 1430. We may have to do some college football playoff picks at some point at the tail end of the show as well.
We will be there.
Yeah. So Saturday, no Sportsline, or excuse me, no Central Valley Sports Report. Paul Meadows is on a break. We'll have Eagles, Commanders, Packers, Bears on Saturday on 1430. So all of your NFL is on 1430. All of your college football playoff is on 790 on Saturday. We're talking Miami, Texas A&M in the morning, Tulane, Ole Miss in the afternoon, and then in the evening, James Madison and Oregon cap it all off for that. Sunday, we'll have Raiders, Texans in the afternoon on 1430. We'll have Sunday Night Football, Bengals, Dolphins on Sunday. And then back Monday, Sports on Bulldog with Tony D, 2 to 3. We'll have my show from 3 to 5. Monday Night Football, 49ers, Colts. And then I'm off for vacation. We'll have some bowl games all throughout the end of December here. Outside of Monday. Monday, we'll be back. I'll have a special little Monday show on the 29th ahead of the Rams and the Falcons before we don't have a show for the rest of the calendar year. We'll be back January 2nd. For that, so should be good. Did you get all that, Tim Veer?
I kind of zoned out for a little bit, but I can recite half of it back.
Oh, I'm sure you can.
College football on 790, NFL on 1430.
On Saturday.
Yep.
All right. What's your 10 seconds here. What's your favorite college football playoff game? Which one that you're locking in?
Miami, Texas A&M is probably my favorite one. Other than that, I actually think Oklahoma can give Alabama a lot of trouble. I know the Lions don't think so, and I also think a lot of people think Alabama is just going to run through it. But I think Oklahoma, being at home, and I still believe in John Mateer and those guys. I think they can give Alabama a run for their money.
I think I'm most interested in Tulane Ole Miss. I think I'm there.
Yeah,
I think that's where I'm at in terms of the most interested one. But we'll see.
Least interested. Now you know that answer. But the other three are very
Jamie,
good.
Jamie, thanks for playing.
Oh, if Jamie, you could upset Oregon, that'd be something else.
All right, we got to go. Oh, do we have another minute here?
We do.
Oh, I forgot about it. I was so good. Locked in on the old time.
Yeah.
And I needed to give another minute here. What do we do for another minute? Spurs, Knicks coming up in a little bit. Lakers come back on Thursday. So it's kind of a strange part of the season where everybody's kind of a little rested here in terms of it. I did look at NBA MVP odds real quick. You want to know the top three?
Yeah, let's hear it.
SGA was number one, figured. Jokic two,
okay,
and Luka three.
Okay.
And those are kind of everybody else is way behind.
Yeah, I think if Wemby had the minutes, or excuse me, the games, then he would also be in that mix, but he just has been injured for too long this year, even though it's just the start of the year.
Luka feels like a good bet.
Luka would be a good bet.
All right, Tim Veer, good job by you. Appreciate it as always. And we'll see you guys tomorrow for a full show. We'll be back 3 o'clock. NBA Cup Finals next.